Blog Talk Radio.
What the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. Goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. So much power in the blood.
Come on, somebody. Power in the blood. So much power in the blood. His grace and mercy has brought us through. His grace and mercy has caused us to be here in the land of the living. We're talking about the power of the blood. Jesus died so that we might live, and that we might live this life in abundance, not with just things, but with his presence, with his fruit, with his gifts, with his anointing. Because of the blood of Jesus, he set us free. Whom the Son set free, hallelujah. Come on. We've got to be free indeed. Why are we still in bondage when Jesus has already made us free? Are you free today? Are you free today? I encourage you to live. I encourage you to love. I encourage you to forgive. Amen. Because that's how you live. You live by forgiving. You live by giving. You live by loving. You live by pressing on to the things of the kingdom. Amen. Don't be stuck on the past. I know you're thinking I was going to say something else. Don't be stuck on the past. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. I'm telling you, we're going to be talking about walking and living in freedom from bondage. Whom the Son set free. Whom the Son set free. I'm going to say it one more time. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. Are you free today? Have you lifted up your hands and literally accepted the freedom of the cross, the freedom of the blood? Have you literally received it, not only just in your hands, but in your spirit, in your mind, in your will, and in your emotions? Have you accepted that freedom? We're going to talk about it today, and I want you to evaluate yourself. Evaluate your living. Evaluate your giving. Evaluate your loving. Evaluate your forgiving. I can't say it enough. Come on into the house. We welcome you into the room, Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where we are blessed, hallelujah, blessed to be a blessing. We're still on the wall. There's no good thing that God will withhold from us if we walk uprightly. Amen. So I want to encourage you to keep pushing, keep praying, and keep living. Glory to God. Well, we're going to be coming from John. I want you to get your Bibles. If you don't have it, I'll give you a minute to get it. And also get your communion, because we're focused on growing in Christ. Amen. We're going to turn to John 8. That's the 8th chapter. And we're going to be reading verses 30 through 36. And I'm going to ask Elder if he would be so kind enough to find that for us. And while we're all searching the scriptures, that you would open up your Bible, for truly it's a blessing. And being able to just lay your hands, amen, on the Word of God. It's a blessing to have the Word of God. It's a blessing to read the Word of God. It's a blessing to teach the Word of God. And most of all, it's a blessing to live the Word of God. Amen. Glory to God. And I pray in Jesus' name that you are already geeked up to receive a deposit. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If our hearts are ready and you're clear and you're open to John 8, verses 30 through 36. I'm going to ask Elder if he'll be so kind to read that for us.
Amen, amen. The NIV version, John 8, 30-36, it says, even as he spoke, many believed in him. To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, amen, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. They answer him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we should be set free? Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son set you free, amen, you will be free indeed. I just read John 8, 30 to 36. Is here to the word of the Lord. Amen.
Praise God. We just thank Elder for reading, for the reading of the Word of God. And we thank you for reading along with us. We thank you for just sharing in the Word of God. Amen. Let us go forward. Well, Father, we thank you for this hour of power, Lord God. We come to you with a humble heart, Lord God, with our spirits lifted toward heaven. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that we may empty ourselves so that we can receive what you're saying to your people. Father, you said that if we turn from our wicked ways, God, you said you'll heal our land, God. So, Father, we need the land healed. We need healing, God. We need to be walking in the things of the kingdom. Father, give us that desire to press toward the mark of the high calling. Father, allow us to learn how to forgive others as you have forgiven us, Father. Teach us to pray. Teach us to live. Teach us to love. Teach us to forgive, God. Show us how to go forth and to be effective in the things of the kingdom. Show us how to be effective. Hide us behind the cross so you can get the glory out of our lives. Teach us how to do praise and worship that can touch heaven. Let us get out of ourselves so that we can walk and live in freedom from bondage, so that we can live in freedom in your will. So we ask these things and we thank you that we receive it and we decree and declare that it is so. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Let your heart say amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. You know, I just want to just talk about those that of us as Americans. You know, we value our freedom. We fought for our freedom. You know, our nation was founded on principles. Principles of liberty and justice for all. You know, you had to recite it in school. You know, our First Amendment. Our First Amendment says it guarantees us freedom of religion. And it also guarantees us freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to assemble together, freedom to petition the government. While our freedom of religion, listen to me carefully, it's under attack. It's under assault. It's being invaded today. more than ever before. See, it's the foundation of our nation. I'm going somewhere with this. See, political freedom, when I look at it, you know, it's a wonderful thing because you think about your foreparents, how we had to fight all our lives. We had to fight. And then our spiritual freedom. It's even better than that. Because you can experience it no matter what sort of government that we live under. And true spiritual freedom, guess what, people of God? It lasts forever. But I ask myself, what is it? You know, the Bible says that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I start thinking about, what's true freedom? You are really free when you have the desire, or should I say, when you have the ability, or maybe I'll say, when you have the opportunity to do what will leave you with no regrets. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. So if you don't have a desire to do a thing, you're not fully free to do it. You have to feel free to do it. You have to have faith to do it. You may be incapable of doing it, but it's that faith issue that make you step out on the unknown, or should I say the impossible, and cause the possible to manifest and to give you freedom. Now you feel fine because you accomplished that goal through faith. See, we can muster the willpower to do what we want to do, or even what we don't want to do. But nobody called that full freedom. So if you have the desire to do something, but no ability to do it, you're not free to do it. And if you have the desire and the ability to do something, but no opportunity to do it, you're not free to do it. And if you have the desire to do something and the ability to do it and the opportunity to do it, Joy, you in the end, you're not really free. You're not free indeed. Let me give you an illustration. Let me give you an illustration. I was reading this guy. He was talking about skydiving. So you want to experience the thrill of the freedom of skydiving. But on the way to the airport, you have an accident, and you can't get there. So you lack the freedom of opportunity. Or suppose you can get there, but you didn't take the required classes, so you don't know how to operate the parachute. You lack the freedom of ability. Let me give you another example. You get to the airport, you took the class, you go up to the plane, but when you open the door and you look down, you just paralyzed with fear. That's what I call you lack the freedom of desire, so you don't jump. But there's one last requirement. I'm glad you asked. For true freedom. Suppose you get to the airport. You got the freedom of opportunity. You took the class. You got the freedom of ability. You go up in the airplane. You look out the door. And you can't wait to jump. Freedom of desire. So you jump. And you're enjoying the freedom of falling through the air. But your parachute is defective. And you're going to smash into the ground. Are you free? You're not truly free because what you're going or what you're doing, you're going to destroy yourself. Now let's go back to the definition. You are fully free when you have the desire, the ability, and the opportunity to do what will leave you with no regrets forever. Now, so how do we get this kind of freedom spiritually? Let's talk about it. Let's just talk about it. Are you really free? See, today I'm talking about walking and living in freedom from bondage. See, it reminds me of the Jews. When Jesus was speaking in our text that Elder was reading, they thought that they were spiritually free from their descendants, from Abraham. That's verse 33, 8 and 33. See, the Bible says, we are Abraham's descendant and have not yet been enslaved to anyone. How is this? How is this that you say, you will become free? So Jesus began to explain that even though you don't see it, they are actually enslaved to sin. And then he began to show them, or should I say, he began to show us the way to true spiritual freedom. Are we free today? See, true freedom, it comes from knowing Christ. Knowing Christ through genuine faith. And that genuine faith, it calls us to abide in him and in his word. I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to me first. See, Jesus, he gives those, I like to say, the arrogant Jews. He gave both a warning, and then he gave an invitation. Listen to what he said. This is exactly what he said. He said, they that are slaves to sin. That's in verse 34. And then he gave them a warning in 35. He said, the slave does not remain in the house forever. This is the part I love. He said, the son does remain forever. What did he mean? See, he means as descendants of Abraham that we're in God's household. But because of sin, we're in his household as slaves, not as true sons, not as true daughters. See, slaves don't enjoy the full privilege of sons or believers. See, slaves can be expelled from the household at any time, especially if we're not faithful. God is sending a message to his people. He's sending a message in so many different ways. People are dropping like flies. So many diseases, so many sicknesses, so many illnesses. We don't know if we'll live this day out to see the rest of the day. We have to be free. Especially if we can be expelled from the household of God at any time because of sin. So right now, we're currently enjoying the privilege of being in God's household. But we can lose that status if we continue in any sinful ways, whether it be thought, action, or deed. You know, it takes me back when Abraham was talking about the story of Ishmael. You know the story, the son of Hagar, the slave, remember? And that's in verse 35, when Ishmael, when he began to taunt Isaac. And Abraham was forced to what? Expel him from his household. The Jews who was threatening to kill Jesus, that's in verse 37, 38, 39, and 40. They was in danger of losing the privilege of being in God's household. I'm going to ask Elder, you know, the Bible says always be ready. If he would be so kind to read for us Romans chapter 9. Let me, if you would read verses 4 and 5, Romans, and then I would pray that everyone would turn along with us. Please have your Bibles. Please search the scripture. Please be blessed with touching the word of God. Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, the Holy Bible, New International Version. And the Bible says, the people of Israel, this is the adoption to sonship, bears the divine glory, the covenant, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promise. Theirs are the patriarchies, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praise. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yes, 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 yes. So now, as Elder was reading, remember, Jesus didn't leave them with a warning only. What did he do? He gave them an invitation. So if the Son, S-O-N, make you free, you will be free indeed. So he's saying, come to me, and I'll give you true freedom. Not a zeal of freedom. You know, when you find yourself in bondage because you're complaining, or you find yourself in bondage because you're not content. When you find yourself in bondage because your mind is rambling all over the place, you forget about Jesus died on the cross and shed it, his precious blood, so that we might all live life and live it more abundantly. When we come into that place and we're not filled with his freedom, because we see flaws of others and not the flaws of ourselves. He said, come to me. See, when we come to him, we're more so searching ourselves. We're more looking for our shortcomings. We're more in a place where we're judging ourselves so that we can be free. Let's talk about, I want to make a couple points. The first point I want to ask you and make as well, is it possible to have a superficial or false faith in Christ that does not save us from sin? I'm going to say it one more time. Is it possible to have a superficial false faith in Christ that does not save us from sin? Is it? I want you to ask yourself that. And then in John 8, verse 30, elders start off reading. It tells us, he spoke these things. Many came to believe in him. And then on 31, he stated that Jesus was addressing the following comments. He was talking to the Jews who had believed him. So you would think that these people had come to know Christ through faith. And then as you continue to read the dialogue, it continues through the chapter, and we learn that not only were they slaves to sin, but also they were seeking to kill him. They were seeking to kill Jesus. And we kill Jesus every single time that we don't walk in our freedom. Every single time that we're enslaved and in bondage to anything, any situation, any person, we kill Jesus daily. But on this circumstance, they was chanting they wanted to kill Jesus. See, God was not their father. Okay, you don't believe me? Look at, Elder, if you would read, read John 8 and 42. 8 and 42. If you would read 40, go ahead and read 40 through 44. Yes, just go ahead and read 40 through 44. Because when you dig into the word and when you ask God to give you a revelation, he really will give you a movie.
Amen. Amen. John 8, 40 through 44. And it states, as it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, amen, if God were your father, you will love me, for I have come from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Amen.
Amen. And the word of God is truly, truly for real. Listen. So I told you God was not their father. And the word backs me up. In fact, who was their father? They were children of the devil. But they believed Jesus, but yet they wanted to kill him. And they accused Jesus of having demons, verse 48. They were liars, verse 55. We didn't go down that far. But they was trying and attempting to kill Jesus. So why does John say that these Jews believed in Jesus? Then you know John is telling the story, but they believed in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, we believe in Jesus. But some of the Jews was trying to resolve this by saying what they were saying in verse 30 and 31. They were speaking about true believers while they was making reference to the hostile Jews as they encountered earlier in the chapter. But the text, as you dissect it, it does not indicate that there was a change of subject or heart. Their heart wasn't changed. Oh, yeah, they were saved, and as we would say, sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, we're blessed and highly favored. But is our heart changed? As I was studying, I started looking at the different arguments, and it was between the Greek, how they used the construction word to believe. What was it to believe? And they felt like it doesn't mean real faith. You might believe on something, but not faith, which faith is an action word, now faith. But your belief can be stagnated. You believe to a point. But when you have to operate in faith by not seeing, you don't know what the outcome is going to be, but you know it's going to be all right. Faith. So believing is one thing. They believed Jesus, but they didn't have faith in Jesus moving them into a place of total freedom. I want you to examine yourself. Do you believe that he would do the impossible? Do you believe that he's more than enough? Do you believe Jehovah Jireh is all we need? Come on, somebody. So I mentioned false faith. Who believe in Jesus only after we see miracles? These were the Jews. But they didn't entrust Jesus with themselves. But they believed him. But they didn't entrust him with their salvation. Because that was superficial faith. I believe Jesus because I see you right there. I see you heal the man. I see you heal the woman. I see you raise Lazarus. They saw Jesus do these things, but they had false faith. When many of Jesus' disciples turned away from him after he said some difficult things that they didn't like, false faith is implied in verse 31. When Jesus said, if they continue in his word, they are truly his disciples. So once it gets to the point where I can believe this, but no, I don't believe that. See, we have to continue in his word and be true to the word. So they concluded that it's possible to believe Jesus and not have continual faith, superficial false faith in Christ. It does not save us from sin. We can't have superficial faith. I believe that God can do this, and I believe that he raised the dead, and I believe, but I don't believe that he can take me to a point of not knowing what to do next, and he can tell me what to do. He can take me to that next place. See, that's where my faith stopped. I'm just saying, don't shoot the messenger. Where does your faith end? How far does your faith take you? Do you dare to step out in the unknown? Or are we afraid of failure? Is that where our faith stops? Because we don't want no one to say we failed. Or we don't want no one to say we lost. Or we don't want anyone to say we were tossed. Amen? Where does your faith end? Where does your faith end? Do you truly believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? Or is that something that you were taught? See, in the Old Testament, the text supported this view. It's the parable of the sower in Luke 8, where it mentioned that the seed that was sown into rocky, thin soil. See, these people believed the word with joy, and they had no roots. That's rocky and thin soil. They believed for a while, but in the time of temptation, in the time of trial, in the time of testing, they fell away. Why? Because they had rocky and thin soil. The same is true of a seed sown among thorny ground. See, the thorns choke out the word of God. And when it choke it out, you won't bear fruit. Are you bearing fruit? So we see the same thing in the warning in the passage in Hebrew when John mentioned about false teachers who went out from the church and they never was genuine believers. So we have to be aware of that. You know anyone that say they're a Christian, they say they talk the word, but they don't live the word. They don't produce fruit. They don't forgive. They don't love. They don't give. They always bring up the old stuff. They always see the bad in everybody, can't see the good. So Paul was talking about false apostles who discuss themselves as worker of righteousness. We all know people like that. She says she a Christian. He say he a believer. See, I've seen the same thing many times, over and over and over. Even when some of us who have to serve for a while in the same capacity in a church, and perhaps they came to a faith at the time when many of their friends were professing faith in Christ, and it was a cool thing to do, or maybe they came to Jesus because they were told that he gave them some blessings or solve some difficult problems that they were wrestling with. And so they came and they didn't get what they hoped for, so they fell away. That's why you see some pastors, they just lose faith. Leaders walk away. You know, and some walk away because they keep sowing into the people of God and don't see change. So they get disgusted. Things don't go as you hope for. Do you fall away? See, some deny the faith that they proclaim they once had because things aren't going their way. You lost a loved one, so you want to quit God. You lost your job, so you want to deny the power of the blood. How can we know that our own faith is genuine? How can we know? Oh, I believe. Oh, I know I believe. Oh, I know Jesus, Dad. Oh, I know, I know, I know. I say more to you today. How do we know if our faith is genuine or is it false faith that we see in these believers or these unbelievers that I'm making mention of. Those with false faith do not recognize their own slavery to sin. You know, someone keeps saying to you, why don't you show some love? Why don't you forgive? Why don't you encourage somebody? Examine yourself. Why don't you just smile? Because the joy of the Lord will put a smile on your face, will put a smile in your heart, will cause you to forgive people that have hurt you. See, after Jesus tells them in verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What did they do? They reacted defensively by asserting that they are Abraham's descendant and that they've never been enslaved to anyone. So when someone come in to correct you, are you on the defense? Or do you have stony ground? Or are those thorns there to choke it out? Or are you a tender plant? Are you pliable? Are you able to stand corrected? Are you Abraham's seed? And you're not enslaved to any sin? See, they couldn't be referring to political slavery, since the nation had been enslaved to Egypt for over 40 years at the time. So it was many other foreign powers in the land, Babylon, Greece, Rome. So they must have meant spiritual freedom. And the Jews had already been free. I could go on and on, but my time is coming nigh. But I want to say this to you. As we examine ourselves, forgive ourselves for bad mistakes we've made, that's a sense of slavery. If we keep on saying, God, why? That's a sense of slavery. But we have to activate our faith. So no matter what, no matter when, no matter how, I believe that Jesus is coming back for a church without a spot or wrinkle. He's coming back. And not one word in the Word of God shall pass away. It's all going to come together. So the life that we live in now is going to precede us. It's going to follow us. Any dead works, it's going to follow us. So I want to encourage you. Ask God to help to heal any hurt in your heart. Forgive everybody. Because heaven is beautiful. My deceased brother passed away and said to me, it's beautiful up here. Don't miss heaven. I say that to you today. Don't let this living be in vain. Don't let your faith be false. And false faith make you entrust, you begin to trust your own righteousness or religion to save you, not in Christ alone. I have a second part to this teaching. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. False faith does not save from sin. Because we're Abraham's descendants, does not save us from sin. We have to be on the Lord's side. We must take that stinky pride and toss it. They were blind in self-righteousness. and spiritual pride. They was religious. See, their religion was eternally impressive, but their heart was far from God. Oh, yes. We're going to start off next week on Mark 7, verses 6. We're going to start with verse 6 and 7. That's where I'm leaving off at. And we're going to talk about how Christ Jesus know our hearts. We can't fool him. He said, woe to you. There's a woe to the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites, for they are like whitewashed tombs, while on the outside you're looking good, but on the inside, full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Come on, somebody. We want to grow up so that when he calls our name, that our faith is steadfast and unmovable. Glory to God. Always abiding in the work of the Lord. Is your faith unmovable? We're talking about walking and living in freedom from bondage. If you don't have a desire to do a thing, you're not fully free to do it. So we're going to pray right now that God release total freedom, that we embrace the freedom of Christ. It doesn't matter about your situation. Who are you? We're just part of the equation. We're just part of the equation. It's all about living for Christ. It's all about doing the will of him that sent you. Why? So that we can be effective and other soldiers will grow up and become more like Christ, because we lift him up and they see his light on us and it'll draw them to him. So let's stay hidden behind the cross. So Father, right now we ask you to forgive us for anything we may have done. Father, anything we may have said, anything, God, we may have thought that will hinder us from walking in your will, from moving in your will. God, we ask you that you would show us our faith. Show us where we are. Take us where we need to be. Let us have a desire to do a thing. Let us be fully persuaded. Father, we release all limitations to you right now in the name of Jesus. God, we come to you with a humble heart, but Lord, our head is lifted up to you because we understand, hallelujah, that it's all about you. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about your way. It's all about being free to serve you. So God, every single person at the sound of my voice, God, I ask you to do only what you can do. Do an impartation right now in the name of Jesus. Increase our faith. Build our standards. Cause us to have the heart of Christ. So, God, as we move forward, you move forward in us. Let us be lost without you. Let us not lean to our own understanding. Let us acknowledge you in all our ways so that you may direct our path. Be set free. For the Lord said, be set free. Those things that's buried and dormant in your spirit, God said, rise, 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 rise. Live again. Laugh again. Love again. Smile again. Give again. Forgive again. So when he calls your name, you'll finish your course. And he can say to us, thou good and faithful. well done. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. The word of God is blessed. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Fill it in the hearts that we might not sin against you. In Jesus' name. Amen, somebody. Get your communion. We have our communion every single Sunday. Get your communion. You know what we do. You know this is how we do it. Communion in Christ. And after communion, I'm going to dedicate a song to everyone, and then I'm going to release you off the line. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what we have set apart, this communion. God, we ask you to convert it. Convert it from natural use to spiritual use. Because you said in your word, as much as we do it in remembrance of you. So we remember that you came. You died. Death couldn't hold you down. The resurrection power of Jesus is in this communion. For you was broken, that we might be made whole. You shed your blood, that we might live life more abundantly. We ask you, God, as we break the bread together, for you said if we don't do it, we have no parts in you. We live in you. We're walking in you. And we're free because you set us free. And we're abiding in the word. Let us eat together the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift up the blood of Jesus. See, it's the blood that heals our body. It's the blood. God said, this is a cup of blessing. Drink the cup of blessing and be blessed. Let us drink together. I receive my healing. I receive my freedom. And I thank you, Father, for what you have already done in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, somebody. There's no good thing that he's going to withhold from you. Why? Because you're walking uprightly. Amen. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for joining in to another broadcast. We have a schedule of events that's going to be announced, and I want to encourage everyone to join us on Wednesdays. We're here every Wednesday at live at 5. You can join us, and then we have our YouTube channel that's coming out next week. We also have our Zoom room where you can join in. Those that are have a desire to walk in ministry and you want to understand what to do next, it is the class for you. Our class will be held on Wednesday also. It will be at 6 o'clock right after our Bible class. I want to encourage you to join in our Zoom room so that we can touch and agree with heaven and do what God has called us to do. Amen. Again, I told you I was going to play a dedicated song to you before I leave, and I want to hold fast to that. I hope you can hear it. It is a song that blessed my heart. And Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. And if we just totally depend on Christ, totally listen to the Lord, be moved by his spirit, don't sit still, let God's voice be heard in your spirit. Stop thinking about the past. Press on to what God has called you to do. Amen. He's enough. He's enough. I'm going to play it for you now, and I pray that you're blessed. Glory to God. Where is the song? Here we go. Glory to God. Give me one moment. Thank you, Jesus. The devil don't want y'all to hear this beautiful song. But we're going to get it going. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Hang on in here with me. Amen. The song is called Jireh. If you can download it, you'll be able to listen to it. Jireh. And it's an awesome song. We'll download it to the board on next week, and then you'll be able to hear the song, Jireh. You can Google it. It's called Jireh. Please listen to that this week. It's a strong message to God's people by Evaluation Worship. They are the ones that sing that song. Just say, hey, Google, Jireh, Evaluation Worship, and you can listen to the song. So I want to say God bless you, everyone. Thank you so kindly for tuning in. And just begin to expect some great things from heaven. Expect some great things from God. It's not what happened to you in the past. It's where you're headed for your future. Many blessings to everyone on the line. God bless you. We love you.
One more time, I'm expecting great things.
I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things. Great things.
That's real simple right there. Can you help me declare it over your life? Say,
I'm expecting great things.